Well, good morning. Good morning to you all. Perhaps I'll pray before we begin. Oh, Lord, we thank you that your name is glorious. Would you help us today? Would you help us in our minds to understand the glorious truth of the gospel? Would you help us in our hearts to know and love Jesus truly with our whole being? And would you help us in our actions to never be ashamed to speak of how Jesus has changed our lives and what that can mean for those around us? Would you help us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, I invite you to go back to that reading in Colossians, chapter 1. That's where we're going to be this morning. So please, I do encourage you, get your Bibles out and let's get this open in front of us. And while you do that, I'd really like to share a story with you. And it's a bit of a personal story. I haven't really shared it with many people before. It was a story of 10 years ago. Imagine me, 18-year-old Reese, raring and ready to spread the gospel to anyone who would listen. And I was invited to go on a short-term mission trip to a little town called Temora. Does anyone know, by show of hands, where Temora is? Few people. It's about an hour up from Wagga Wagga. It's in rural New South Wales. And while we were in Temora, we were invited to go to a little town called Coolamin. Again, show of hands, does anyone know where Coolamin is? Yes, one person, good, well done, which is about 45 minutes from Temora. And it's a little rural town in New South Wales, not very big. And at the time, I just checked on the website before church this morning, but at the time, they had a slogan. You know how every town sort of has that tacky slogan? You know, like for instance, perhaps you know the town Seymour. For a while they had Seymour at Seymour. I don't think you can get much worse than that, but, and you know, Victoria used to be the place to be. I think it's the education state now, but, this little town, Coolamin, they had a little slogan, that was, thankfully changed just recently, but the slogan used to be "the dirty weekend away." Really, truly, in rural New South Wales, they thought it would be really cool to go with sex tourism and encourage people to come to Coolamin so that they can have an affair. So It was a tough ask to go to Coolamin on mission. You could see that the town needed a mission trip. And, so we were there in our team and we were doing some door knocking, some local door knocking from door to door. And, so my friend and I, we started approaching this house, there was about four or five people sitting on the bench, out on the porch, sorry, not the bench. Sitting out on the porch and they saw us coming, which is very awkward because, you know, you're heading into someone's home, you're walking down their driveway and they can see you're coming. And, they stopped us before we got there and they said, "What do you want?" And we said, "Oh, how are you going? We just have this survey that we wanted to, get the feel of Coolamin about what you guys think about Christmas." It was coming up to Christmas time. And this survey was just very simple questions, you know, do you think Christmas is relevant? What do you do celebrating Christmas with your family? Things like that. With the point of, at the end, inviting people to check out church. So we said, "We've got this survey about Christmas." And they said, "We're not interested." We said, okay, you know, we just thought you might be up. Nah, nope, we don't want to know. And we said, "Okay, no problem." And then one of the people, I'll never forget this, one of the people on the porch, they said to us, "You should leave." And, you know, we were going to leave. But they said, "There's someone in the house who has been hurt by the church. And if they found out that you were here trying to proclaim the church, I know they've got a gun in the house. They'll probably show you it." And we said, "See you later." Now look, that may have been an empty threat, but we didn't want to wait to find out. But mission can be confronting, can't it? The idea of mission, presenting the gospel to someone, can be very confronting. Well, friends, today we are in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, through to chapter 2, verse 5. And I encourage you, if you haven't yet, get your Bibles to this spot. As you turn there, I want us to have a refresher of who Paul is talking to and what's happening. So Paul, what we know of Paul is that he had many contacts and he knew many churches quite intimately. However, Paul didn't really know many of the people here in the Colossian church. Unlike another church, say, you know, the church in Corinth, we looked a bit in 2 Corinthians last year. You know, that was Paul's church plant. He was very close and intimate with them. This church in Colossae was not founded by Paul. It wasn't his church. He was quite distant from it. To summarize what's gone before us, before we get to this passage, in Colossians 1 verses 4 to 8, Paul writes to the church and he thanks God that the gospel has come to them, learning from verse 7 that they found out about the gospel from Epaphras, a faithful servant. As far as we know, it looks like Paul had never visited Colossae. And we get that from our passage today, chapter 2 verse 1. When Paul tells the Colossians of the struggle he has for them and also for their neighboring town in Laodicea. And here is the key. For those who haven't seen me face to face. So Paul is writing to this Colossian church. Many of the people in that church he doesn't know. He's never met them personally. So this begs the question, why would Paul write to a church he doesn't know? What would be the purpose in that? I think Paul wants to encourage the Colossian church. He wants to encourage them for two reasons. Firstly, Paul has heard that they've got a strong faith. We find this out again in our passage from chapter 2 verse 5, that Paul rejoices that the Colossian church has a firm faith. So Paul, out of response from what he has heard, he is encouraging the Colossians for their faith. And secondly, there seems to be a bit of confusion in the Colossian church where people have come in and spread some form of wrong teaching. Now, we don't know exactly what the teaching is, but what we do know from our passage today in Colossians 2:4 is that the Colossians are warned not to be deceived by fine-sounding arguments. A little further from our passage in verse 8, there's a reminder not to listen to deceptive philosophy. And in chapter 2, verse 16 and 18, we find out that people are judging others and even disqualifying them as real followers of Jesus. In the church, it's like being in these walls and saying, you're not a real Christian. You don't really get this yet. I mean, how insulting. We don't know exactly what was said in every case, but Paul writes to this church because he knows they need encouragement. And he wants them to not be confused by all this talk that they hear, but to stand firm in the truth. So as we get to our text today, we begin in verse 25. And we find that Paul, he says to the Colossian church, I rejoice in your sufferings for the sake of the Colossians. I just want to pause there and think about this for a moment. Could you think of anything more bizarre than for Paul to rejoice in the Colossians' sufferings? He doesn't know them. He doesn't know them personally. This is a church that Paul doesn't really know and probably hasn't visited. And yet he makes it one of the first things he wants them to know. I rejoice that I suffer for your sake. Why would he say that? Why? Well, even though he has not met most of the people reading this letter, there is something he shares with them. There's a bond. He identifies with them by sharing in Christ's afflictions. He shares in Christ's afflictions on behalf of the church. And because he shares in Christ's afflictions, he can write in such a loving way to them. Well, okay. But what suffering are you talking about, Paul? Jesus suffered death on the cross and this is finished. Yes, that's right. You can't be talking about sharing in Jesus' suffering. He's already done that. Well, Paul is not talking about Christ suffering on the cross. He clarifies this in the same verse. He is talking about the suffering of the church. The church, Christ's people, his bride. He suffers because of the church. Christ's afflictions include us. We suffer as Christians. We know this from history. We've suffered for over 2,000 years. And Paul says to the Colossian church, I rejoice because of this suffering. Then Paul gives a little glimpse of his testimony in our passage today. He speaks of how he became a minister because God gave this to him to make the word of God fully known. That's what he's on about. I just love these verses. Verses 25 to 28. Paul tells the Colossians that as a Christian minister, he has a special task. He wants to make the word of God fully known. In all its splendor, in all of its fullness. Friends, I love these verses because Paul declares the message itself is none other than a beautiful mystery. A mystery. A secret. God's secret. It was hidden. But now because of Jesus' death on the cross and rising from death, this mystery has finally been revealed. This mystery is magnificent in every way. This mystery is now open. Where it was once closed, it is open. This mystery shows God's own character and his glory. And it shows the love that God has for his people, Jew and Gentile alike. And Paul, he can't contain holding this mystery a secret any longer. This mystery, verse 27. Is Christ in you? Christ in you. You know this mystery, Colossians. You know it. You know it personally because Epaphras has declared it to you and now you get it. You understand. Jesus is Lord. And now he lives in you. Friends, isn't this glorious news? Christ in us. Because Jesus is Lord, the mystery has been unveiled. Christ in you. And there's hope in that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul gets on a roll here. You can't stop him. There's no stopping him. He needs to continue. Christ in you, the hope of glory, we proclaim him. Warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. That we may present everyone mature or perfect in Christ. Him we proclaim. We proclaim him. We proclaim Jesus. Paul rejoices in the suffering for the Colossian church. We're in this together. Paul declares the mystery solved. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Paul urges, proclaim that. Proclaim Jesus as Lord. Proclaim it. Friends, do we proclaim Jesus? Christ has called us to serve him in a missional way. We often think of mission as something that's separate from our lives, as something that happens out there. We have missionary partners and mission agencies we support, and yes, this is global mission, and we are fully supportive of that at the church. As we heard this morning, we're supporting Compassion this morning. We partner with these people and these agencies because we do support this type of mission. But think about this. Paul writes to a church he doesn't really know. And he wants to remind them one thing. Proclaim Jesus. Church, proclaim Jesus. Church, don't support mission just globally. Proclaim him here. Not the church building, but the Colossian people proclaim Jesus. Not this church building, but Berwick Anglican Church people, we proclaim Jesus. We must. But how? How do we do it? How do you, in your life, proclaim Jesus? How do I do it? How do we do this? To answer this question, we must look again at Colossians 1:28. We proclaim him. How? Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. So how is this missional proclamation done? Well, it wasn't carried out by a rally or by booking out the Colosseum, but by regularly warning and teaching every person that the Colossians came into contact with. The missional proclamation was done one church member at a time. How do we do this? How do we proclaim Jesus? We admonish, which is warning, and we teach each person. Now you might be thinking at this point, well, times have changed, right? We don't do things the way they used to 2,000 years. We don't work this way anymore. But friends, look at the way this is written. Look at the way this verse is written. It is in the present. It's not past tense. It doesn't say, him we proclaim and we used to teach and we used to warn. It's present. It's now. We warn people. We admonish them. We teach them now. It's the way they did it then. It's the way we do it today. And we pray that the church is faithful and they keep doing it in the future. Proclaim Jesus as Lord in your everyday life. How? Well, we warn and we teach every person. But why do we do this? What's the point? The end of verse 28 gives us this answer. So that we can present every person perfect in Christ. Friends, this is a huge call. It is huge. It's a huge call to us as a church. Do you feel the weight of that? Do you feel the weight of those words? What this means is that we need to be in this for the long haul. We need to proclaim Jesus and we can't give up. Doesn't matter how hard it gets. And even if we see fruit, and we pray that we do, our job doesn't end when people become Christians either. Because we have to keep continuing to build and love each other until the end. But how? How do we do this? This is such a weighty task. How do we do it? This is such a big job. Where do we even start? What have we missed? Let's read verse 28 again. We proclaim him, that is Jesus, warning and teaching everyone. How? With wisdom. We need wisdom. We need wisdom to know how to do this. We need wisdom to know how to live this out. We need to ask wisdom from God. Friends, this is a great comfort for me. And I hope it is for you too. This doesn't lie on us. We don't need to have the words here. We need to ask the wisdom from God and he will provide. We don't do this ourselves. God gives us wisdom. This verse, verse 28, is crucial because as we mentioned in the beginning, there was some form of danger happening in the Colossian church. Some sort of teaching or philosophy was getting in the way of the gospel. And this is why Paul warns the Colossians not to be deluded with arguments that people are bringing up, trying to sway them. No, stand firm. Know that it is Jesus we proclaim. This mystery has already been revealed. Friends, there can be no doubt here. Paul's intention in writing to the Colossians is that he wants to confirm with them just how central and supreme Christ is to the Christian faith. This is Paul's mission to the Colossian church. We proclaim Jesus. And likewise, for us here, at Berwick Anglican Church, as we think about our individual missions and our corporate mission together, we need to proclaim Jesus. in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes, with our families, in our retirement villages, in our nursing homes. We do this because we proclaim Jesus, because we believe in him. We are cross-shaped people. When Christ died on the cross and rose again, we know that something so significant happened there, don't we? We know that Jesus means so much. Not one man has ever changed the world more than Jesus. They actually put a book out just a couple of years ago, and it's, I can't remember the title exactly, but it's about who the most influential person in the world is. You know what their answer was? Begrudgingly, Jesus. They didn't want it to be Jesus, but they can't help but see how much Jesus has changed our culture. So we proclaim him. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. And we want to present all people perfect in Christ. Well, how do we do this? This is such a big job. How do we do it? We warn and we teach everyone with wisdom. I want to return to that story I shared at the beginning about the not so fortunate mission experience that I had. Well, something else happened that day. Our team, they went to an elderly lady's house, and they said to her the same thing. What do you think of Christmas? You know, is Jesus still relevant to this culture? And they said, do you want to come check out church? And she said, you know, I used to go to church. I used to go to church 30 years ago. I haven't been in 30 years. I don't know if I want to go back. I'll think about it. Well, Sunday morning came, and guess who was there? She came. I preached that day. Hopefully I preached a good sermon. I can't remember. I was 18. It probably wasn't that great. But God worked in that. He worked in our failures and our misgivings, and we were faithful to him, and she came. 6 months later, we received a follow-up email from the minister there in that church. And he said, do you remember that lady? You knocked on her door. She came. We can't get rid of her. It's been 6 months down the road. She hasn't missed a service. She's a faithful member of our church. Sometimes it seems hard, doesn't it, to just ask someone, do you want to check out church? But God can work in that, because we proclaim Jesus, because we know who Jesus is, because we know what Jesus has done in our lives and how much that impacts us. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we proclaim him in our lives? Perhaps you could be thinking about someone that you could ask, do you want to check out church? To finish, I want to summarize with the words of a man named Ray Ortland. He wrote an article a few years back on a website called The Gospel Coalition on this verse, Colossians 1:28. And it summarizes this verse and how it's a central missional statement for every Christian. Not just for every church, but for every Christian. And friends, as I read this out, I invite you to close your eyes. And it's my hope that we would make this a prayer for our church and for our lives. Him we proclaim. Him. Paul summarized his ministry in one word. Him. Not Jesus plus something else, but Jesus full stop. The only focus. All other topics of interest had to fit in and around Jesus and promote Jesus and make Jesus clearer. We. Whatever others may do, this is what we as Christians do. Whatever message others may shout out, we'll shout louder about Jesus Christ. We are responsible to him and will give an account to him only and finally at the end. Proclaim. Not beg as if he were poor. Not suggest as if he were doubtful. Not propose as if he were the premise of something larger, but proclaim. Proclaim Jesus as the only life that is truly life, accessible to everyone on terms of grace, received with the empty hands of faith, giving all, demanding all. And so, Father, may we be able to summarize our ministry in these words. Him we proclaim. Jesus we proclaim. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is our only focus. Whatever message is shouted out, and we know, Father, that our culture shouts pretty loud, may we shout louder about Jesus Christ. May you write on our hearts a strong passion to proclaim Jesus as Lord in every area of our lives. We pray this for our sake and for your glory. Amen.